Hey, this is Steve. This podcast is all about making the gospel relevant to your life. That means discovering the good news of Jesus, no matter what you're going through today. We are eagerly anticipating what God might just do in our lives right now. Last week, we launched our building campaign, and today we're launching a 21-day spiritual journey. It's for you and for everyone. So there's two commitment Sundays that we will be having as part of this campaign, two commitment Sundays. The first one that I want to mention is on February the 11th. That's our big pledge Sunday, where at the end of this campaign, after we've all been seeking Him, we are going to come together and commit to 24 months of special giving toward the new building, for what God wants to do in that. So February 11th, we're all going to come to the climax of the building campaign, and we're all going to pledge to give for 24 months. And the climax of our campaign is going to be similar to the climax in the movie. So if you don't know what's going on, the climax happens at the Enchantment Under the Sea dance. So on February 11th, we're having our Enchantment Under the Sea dance. Don't worry, Bruce. I'm way too Baptist. I won't be dancing. There's not going to be any dancing on February 11th, but we are going to have our climax that day, Enchantment Under the Sea dance. And spoiler alert, just a hint, if you want to know some of the surprises that we have coming that day, watch the movie and see what happens at the Enchantment Under the Sea dance and right afterwards, and you'll see, kind of, you'll get an idea of the surprises that we're going to be having that day. You won't want to miss that big commitment day that we have on February the 11th. The other big commitment day is actually today. Yeah, we have a commitment day today. In fact, when you came in today, you should have gotten one of these two-sided cards. Did you get the card? When you came in, everybody grab that card real quick. You see it's perforated right down the middle. And here's what we're committing to today. Instead of a 24-month give campaign, we're committing today together for 21 days of spiritual growth. Because this can't be about concrete, steel, and dollar bills. This has got to be about a people who seek Him first in His kingdom and His righteousness. Then it says, all the other things will be added to you. So we want to seek Him first. And this card, we designed this card so that we could pray for you during this time. So it's a two-sided card. It's the same check boxes on both sides of the card. And what I'm hoping you'll do today is you'll check the boxes of the things that you're going to be committing to during these 21 days and separate those two. Give us the blue one because tomorrow we're going to pray for you by name in the areas that you're indicating to us. We want to get your back. You know, we want to have your back in prayer when you're going through this spiritual journey. And then keep the orange one for yourself. Put it in your car or on your refrigerator or on your mirror or wherever you'll see it all the time and know what you're committed to. So be thinking about that. Be praying about it. We'll ask for those at the end of the service today. But I want to kind of show you what all you're in for. So I'm going to ask you right now to let this be a participation moment for you in the service. I tried this in the last service, and let me tell you, man, those people, I don't know what's up with those people, but I couldn't get them to participate with me on this, and it's easy. In fact, it couldn't be easier, and so I'm going to make it easy. So I'm going to ask you to participate by grabbing your note sheet. Just grab your note sheet, and when you got it, hold it up for me. I want to see you holding it up. Okay, do you have your note sheet? I'm not asking you to take notes and commit anything to memory. Just let me hold up your sheet. There you go. Okay, good. Thank you. Good. That's most of you. Okay, you can put that down. And then what I want you to do next is take out your mobile device, your cell phone, and hold that up. I don't have mine with me, so I'll hold up my iPad here. All right, good. Hold it up. Let me see it. Let me see it. Let me see it. Let me see it. Okay. All right, about 80% of you have it, 75%. Some of you are looking at me like you hate cell phones. I'm not touching my cell phone during church. Okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your device and open the camera app on your device. go ahead and open the camera app and make sure it's on photo, not portrait, not video, not any other weird mode. Put it in straight up photo mode. And here's how I want to help you. I want to help you, okay? I'm helping you with this. Take your camera app and point it at the little QR code at the bottom left of your note sheet that you just held up a second ago. Just point it at that. And when you point it at that, you'll see a little yellow bar. If it's a, I don't know, on Android, on Apple, it's a little yellow bar that comes up with what looks like a website. Just tap that, and it'll take you right to our Right Now page on our website. Now, I'm trying to help you out. I'm doing you a favor here, okay? So tell me when you got that. Hold it up when you got that. All right, it looks like this right here. Good, 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 okay? Some of us struggling. Yeah, good, good, good. Just point it. You don't have to click. Just point it and then tap on the yellow thing. Good, good. Hey, Greg, on the vastly superior Android device, is it a yellow bar? White? It's a white one? It's white. Okay, good. All right, so yellow, white, whatever the case may be. So just go there. And then this page is really helpful. We worked really hard to build this for you. So it has all the information about our Right Now campaign. So you'll scroll down, you'll see the whole timeline. You'll see a property map, so you'll see right where we are located at the moment and where we'll be located in the future. You'll see some pictures, beautiful, beautiful pictures from up there. Boy, I encourage you to go up there and look at the view. It's gorgeous. You'll see renderings of the new building, and you'll see the floor plans. Oh, this week I started getting actual construction plans. Oh, man, it is happening. Dude, it's happening. And Friday, we have our first meeting for all the AVL. In case you don't know what AVL is, it is all the lights and video, AVL, audio, video, and lighting for the main room in there. We have our first meeting on that this Friday. Very excited. It's got frequently asked questions and contact stuff. Listen, I just want to promise you, as far as this campaign goes, as far as anything goes to this church, there are no secrets. We don't have any secrets. And we genuinely want to answer all of your questions. And so there's contact information there. If you've got a question and you want to know, you can contact David Lynn, our campaign team leader, or Larry Lynch, or me. Larry Lynch is our executive director. I'm the pastor here. You know, you can just ask us the questions, and we'll be happy to do our best to answer your questions. That's what we want to do. So we worked real hard to get all that together for you, but here's what I want you to do. Scroll all the way back to the top of that page, and at the very, very top, you'll see two little buttons, and one of them says Spiritual Journey Guide. Would you just tap on that Spiritual Journey Guide and go to the Spiritual Journey page? It looks a little bit like the last page you were just on. What is it with you, Reeves? Got your arms crossed, we will not participate. All right, so Spiritual Journey page, for those of you that will participate, thank you. I'll come over and walk you through it later on. Is that good? there's a lot of things that we're doing to help you to press in hard during these 21 days. And you'll see some of them. Like one of them, we have a 21-day personal reading and prayer guide. So we got 21 days, basically 21 days of devotionals for you so that you'll have a kind of a reading plan. We wanted to help walk you through all this. I wanted us to all be reading and praying the same thing together for these 21 days. And I hope you'll take advantage of that 21-day reading guide. You'll see that we got 24 hours of prayer. I'll talk about that in just a second. You'll see our life group challenge. Boy, we're going to be big on leaning into life groups during this time. And then we're going to have that property prayer walk on February 10th. And it all kind of ends up with that big pledge Sunday. And then there's a few other suggestions also. But I want to just call your attention to this blue section. The blue section that says 24 hours of prayer in Scripture. This has been one thing that's been really near and dear to my heart. Just keep that in front of you right here for just a minute. I've really been excited about this more than I think a lot of the rest of it, because, you know, I just want us to be seeking God first. And I don't think there's anything that we can do that's more powerful together than read His word out loud and pray together. And we're going to do that for 24 hours starting Tuesday evening at 6:30. And I just really want to invite you in. At 6:30, we're going to have a prayer service. There'll be a prayer guide, and we're going to do music, and there's going to be some other things that we do to pray together. It's going to be a real nice hour that will fly by. I promise you, we've done it before. It's going to fly by real fast. Come pray. Everybody's invited. 6:30, come pray with us for 1 hour. But then for the next 23 hours, we're going to have blocks of time, 1 hour blocks of time for prayer. And I'm asking for you to lean in and to sign up for a block of time. You can do that right there in that blue section. You can sign up to pray or you can sign up to read. So after the 6:30 hour, we'll move upstairs and we'll use the big room up there for prayer, and we'll use the two side rooms for Bible reading. So there's two blocks for every half hour for Bible reading and one block for prayer. And actually, we've made room. I mean, we've made reservation space for up to five people, but anybody can come during any of those hours to any of those things and be present for it. Bible reading will be out loud. We're asking you to sign up to read the Bible out loud for a half hour, and I'll provide the Bible. Okay, I bought a large print Bible. Can I hear an amen for large print Bibles? And I've only got one, so I'll have it up there. I'll get another one somewhere, and we'll have Bibles up there for you to read. And you can read the passage you want to read, so you can come with your own passage, or we can guide you. You know, here's Romans, or here's the Psalms. You know, read here. So I hope you'll do that, and I hope you'll sign up to pray. And I'm asking you, do this with us. This is the participation I'm looking for. I don't just want you to have QR codes and phones. I want you to click the button and sign up to pray. And I want you to sign up. And I'm asking you, this will be hard. It's hard to pray for an hour. But we'll give you a prayer guide that'll kind of walk you through it. And I'm just asking you to lean in. I'm so proud. We've got several of our leaders, men and women, who have gone ahead and signed up for several of those blocks. And I got to tell you, the first blocks to go were the 3 a.m., 4 a.m. blocks. They aimed for the hardest ones so that you could have it a little bit easier. Thank you, leaders, for doing that. And a bunch of them signed up for a bunch of other blocks as well. And we just want you to be able to have time. We want you to know that you're being prayed for. And I want all of us to participate in prayer together. I'm just going to be honest, I haven't signed up yet, and I'll tell you why. Because I'm waiting to see what you do. Because I think that whatever you don't sign up for, those are the hours that nobody wants. They're probably the hardest hours. And so I'm just going to take the ones nobody else signs up for, and I'm going to be praying for you. But I'm asking you, would you make this not something that the pastor and the leaders just do for you? Would you lean in and pray? Would you sign up right now? Right now? Would you go ahead right now and use your device and sign up for a block or two to come and to read the Bible out loud or to pray quietly in the room with us? I'm just asking you to do that. You see, last week, here's why. Last week, I presented a clear vision for our future. And I think you got it. I think now you have the vision yourself. You know what it's going to look like. You know what it's going to feel like. You know how big it's going to be and how much it's going to cost. You know right where it's going to be sitting. You know right where you'll be going on Sunday mornings when you come to church at the Orchard Church. You've got that vision. You and I have a vision for our church's future facilities. But here's the question I want to ask you. This morning, do you have a vision for your spiritual future? Do you have a vision for who you're going to be 5 years from now, 10 years from now? Because I'm going to be honest, in my experience, most people do not. Most people don't have a vision for who they're becoming, and they don't have a plan for how to get there. And so instead of living with purpose, on purpose, instead of intentionally moving in the direction that God wants you to go, most of us find ourselves just kind of bobbing downstream, going with the flow. And we try to get in the stream. We want to be in the stream, but we're just floating. And we're just going to see where the river takes us. But a lot of times we get caught up in eddies and currents and back currents, and we get caught up in the little ebbs and flows. and we don't end up really much anywhere. Most of us aren't really intentionally becoming the people that God wants us to become because we don't have a vision for our own spiritual future. I think this is important now more than ever. I believe now is the time, now more than ever, certainly in my lifetime, maybe in all of history, now more than ever to get ready, because I believe there's a day coming. A day coming much sooner than later where all of us are going to have to make critical choices about who we really are. I believe that day is coming where we're going to have to either take a courageous stand for our faith or crawl under a rock and hide. And which will you be? It's critically important for you to know who you're going to be in that moment and that you have a plan to get to that point. Because Jesus himself, he was really clear about how important it was. I'll look at that in just a minute, but before I do that, I want to kind of back up my idea here. I feel like it's more important now more than ever because I can see it coming. Can you see it coming? I can see it coming. And I'll prove it. Here's how I can see it coming. Because 2 years ago, in January of 2022, I made a list of things that I believe proved that Satan is rising and the world hates me. You know, you and I think we're floating downstream. We're floating with everything and we're all just going along to get along. But dude, I think Satan and I think the world hates you. And so 2 years ago, I read you this list and I dug it up this week. And I'm going to read it again, and I want you to just listen, and you see if you think that my list is more true today or less true today. Okay? You got it? All right. Here we go. Here's my list. Number one, I believe in absolute truth, that there is right and wrong. But this world says that makes me closed-minded. Is that more true today or less true? Okay, I believe in the biblical account of creation, that God made everything by speaking it into existence. And the world says that makes me anti-science and ignorant. Is that less true or more true today? Huh? Okay, I believe that men and women are different. And I believe that science clearly backs that up. XX and XY. And one can't become the other. But the world says that makes me sexist and transphobic. And 2 years ago, I had never heard the word transphobic. Is that more true today or less true? I believe in the biblical definition of marriage, that God ordained it and God defined it. It's between a man and a woman, period. Anything else is not, if it doesn't meet that definition, it's not marriage. But this world says that makes me homophobic and bigoted. Is that more true or less true today? I believe that God made two genders and only two genders, male and female, and the world says that that makes me anti-LGBTQ, bigoted, and backwards. More true or less true? I believe that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life, and that no one can come to the Father except through him, yet the world tells me that that makes me intolerant. More true or less true? Last one. I believe, Bruce, that I'm just a plain old white guy. But the world tells me that that makes me the privileged oppressor of people around me. More true or less true? See, I think the day is coming where their hate for us is going to come in full force. I believe the day is coming when they're going to hate us so much that they're going to put us in prison for what we say. They're going to put us in prison for daring to believe what God has clearly spoken in his word. And so there's coming a day where you and I are going to have to take a courageous stand or crawl under a rock. Now, Jesus is really clear how important this is to him. May not feel important to you, feels pretty important to me, but he makes it clear how important it is to him because he says that it's how we respond in that moment that actually determines where we spend eternity. Did you know that? Here's what he says. It's in Matthew. Jesus says, "Everyone who acknowledges me publicly, when the chips are down, and when they're asking, why in the heck do you believe what you believe? He says, everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I'll also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But everyone who crawls under a rock and denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven." Those are some heavy, heavy words of Jesus. Am I right? I mean, just thinking about the fact that how I respond in that critical moment can determine the disposition of my eternity, that ought to rattle your cage. It sure rings my bell really well. Jesus actually expects us to take a strong stand for him when the world is out to get us. So my question for us, it's the first blank on your page this morning, does Jesus expect too much of us? Does Jesus expect too much? I mean, good grief, good grief. So here I am, and as of this morning, we've, you know, already had, I don't know, 160, 180 people here this morning, maybe more in this, just in this room, not counting out there. And I've asked people to sign up to pray for an hour when it's a little hard. And we got 22 responses. 22? Are you kidding me? 22 responses to pray? 22? I'm looking at a day when they're going to be holding you at gunpoint and asking, who do you stand for? They're going to be putting you in prison if you give the wrong answer. And you and I aren't willing to be a little uncomfortable for an hour? Maybe Jesus is asking too much of us. Maybe he's asking us to take a little bit of a stand so that we might get made fun of in our workplace. Maybe he's asking us to take too much of a stand so that we might actually have to give from our resources to support ministry of the gospel. Maybe he's asking us to do these things, and maybe he's asking, frankly, too much. Good thing he doesn't expect us to give much. Why would we? Because what have we received from him? Hello, are you kidding me? What have you received from him? Hasn't he done enough for you? I was reading in 1 Corinthians this week, and the Apostle Paul is writing to this church that he loves, the church at Corinth. They were kind of screwed up, but he was writing to them, and he says this at 1 Corinthians 1. He says, "I'm writing to God's church in Corinth, to you who have been called by God to be his own holy people." He made you holy by means of Christ Jesus. So he's writing to a people that's, he's really writing to me and you also, a people that God's called to be his holy people. That's what he says, called to be his holy people, not called to be yours, not called to belong to the enemy, but to be his. He's called you to be his own. He wants you to be his. We got two dogs in my house. I didn't tell the story earlier. It's just going to be stupid, but we got two dogs. Little bitty dogs, little bitty cute dogs. Little Yorkies. Couldn't be cuter. One of them is our dog. The other one is my daughter's dog. Okay, so we had one, she had one, but then the babies started being born, and the little Yorkie, he's just an angry little Yorkie, and he doesn't like babies. So he bites at babies when they toddle around the house. So she was like, "I love my dog, but can't keep him." So her dog came to live with us. Now we have two Yorkies, one happy and one angry. The happy one's always, you know, always wanting to be with me. I'll sit down on the chair. She wants up on my lap. I'll go somewhere. She wants to trot along with me. I go run errands in the truck. She wants to ride in the truck with. She just wants to be with me all the time. She's my little dog. But then there's angry Yorkie. He doesn't belong to nobody. And he wants you to know it. So I sit down in the chair. I'm like, come here, Charlie. He's like, no, I ain't coming over there. And he just stares at me. I don't care. Fine. That's fine. Or sometimes I'll go to pick him up, right? I'll go to pick him up because I want him to sit in my lap or something. So I'll reach down. And just as my hands get to him, he bites me. Of course, his mouth is that big. It doesn't have any teeth, so it doesn't matter. But he bites me. Show me who's boss. I take the dogs outside, you know. Penny goes run. Happy Dog goes running out there. I'm like, all right, let's go potty. She goes right to the bathroom real fast. Charlie just stands there at the top of the steps. I ain't doing that. I feed him. Penny happily just chomps her food right now. Charlie just stares like, that's all you got? Happy Dog is my dog, but Charlie's nobody's dog. And I keep telling him, I'll hold him and I'll pet him. Between bites, I'll hold him and I'll pet him. I'll be like, Charlie, I wish you would just be my dog. I wish you would just be my, let me love you. Let me take care of you. Let me have fun with you. Just let me, just be my dog. He's like, nah, I don't want nothing to do with it. And I mean, he'll just sit there just tense while I'm holding him and talking to him. So then I'll put him down, and as soon as his feet touch the bed or the chair or the floor, he bites me again. There's a big difference between my dog and nobody's dog. And I'm asking you, are you his? Do you happily go along with what he calls you to? Do you happily participate in the plan of sanctification in your life that he's got for you? Or do you resist? Do you tense up? Do you bite at him? He's called you to be his own people. He goes on, Paul goes on, and he says he's called you to be his own people, made holy by means of Christ Jesus, just as he did for all people everywhere who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. So he's saying here that you've been made holy by Jesus. Hadn't you done enough? Because one time you were unholy. One time you were against him. One time you were like the angry Yorkie. All you would do is resist him and bite at him. His plan for you is the best plan. His plan for you is to make you everything you were designed to be. His design for you is beautiful. He was at one time so happy with us, he put us in charge of everything on the planet. And he said, you got this. And he called it very good. And he rested. But we agreed with the accuser that God wasn't really worthy of being God. We tensed up and we said, no, I can be a better God than you. And we stole from him and we broke everything. It's our sin that's resulted in war and poverty and homelessness and immigration problems and crime and broken families. All of that comes from our sin. Our sin has messed up this beautiful, beautiful project that God started. And it puts us under his judgment. We've so disfigured his beautiful creation that he is furious. And God says he will punish all criminals. The wages of sin is death. That punishment's coming for all of us because God is a just God and he punishes all criminals. But he's not only just, he's also loving and graceful. And God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That Jesus would come here with no sin of his own, perfectly aligned with his Father, fully doing everything his Father wanted him to do. He came here, he lived a perfect life, and he goes to the cross with no sin of his own to have to pay for. But God took all of my sin and all of your sin and put it on to Jesus Christ. And there on that cross, he shed his blood to pay for my sin. He paid my debt on that cross, and he died in my place. And he went to the grave, but 3 days later, he didn't stay in that grave. He walked away from it. He walked away from all that sin. He walked out of that grave, and today he lives to bring you his new life, his life abundantly, his life to the full. He wants you to live the life you were designed to live. He wants the best for you, but we tense up and we bite against it. because we think we know better. So I'm asking you, is he asking too much of us to respond to him? Or is the price that Jesus paid on the cross worthy of my sacrifice back to him? Huh? Does his sacrifice not demand my allegiance to him? If I've seen what he's done for me, I can't get past the gift of Jesus Christ. I can't get over what he's done for me, and I can't help but respond. So, how do I experience this fully? How do I walk in that sanctification? How do I become the person he wants me to become so that I stand and don't fall? Don't crawl under a rock. Paul goes on in this same passage in 1 Corinthians in just a few verses later, and he kind of lays it out for his people. He says this. He says, now, because of Jesus, you have every spiritual gift you need as you eagerly wait for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see that? He doesn't hold back anything. He gives you everything you need. He's given you every, Ephesians says, every spiritual gift. He is a gracious, generous, giving God. Amen? He has blessed us with every spiritual gift as we wait for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on, and he says that he will keep you strong to the end so that you'll be free from all blame on the day when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. In other words, so you want to be strong on that day? Well, it's his strength. It's not your own strength. You don't have it in you to be that strong, but he will provide you with the strength. He will strengthen you. I'm telling you, though, Greg Engler and I go to the gym together some mornings, and we're getting stronger, but it's a process, isn't it, Greg? Didn't come in there the first day and jump up on that box 30 times on day one. Dude, I'm telling you, day one, I thought I almost killed that guy. He was red-faced and sweating. I was worried, but dude, he came back. Second day, he did a lot more. I'm only about a week or two ahead of you on that same little routine, and I'm telling you, my first day, I didn't do much, but I'm getting stronger. I'm growing more. I'm trusting the process. God will give you the strength, but it's process. You hear me? It's process. He is strengthening you. He will do this, he goes on to say, for he is faithful to do what he says. And he's invited you into, it says this, it says he's invited you into partnership. You see that? He's invited you into partnership with his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, I read this verse in this, the New Living Translation, and it kind of startled me a little bit because I know this passage well. And every time I think I've read it before, I've read it in another translation, and almost all the other translations don't say partnership. Almost all the other translations say that he's invited you into fellowship with his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, let me ask you, is there a difference between partnership and fellowship? Okay, see, here's what I think. I think if I'm partnered with you, what am I doing? I'm partnered with you because we're trying to do something on purpose. I need you, and you need me. We're partners in this. And so we're trying to accomplish something. So there may be work involved, and I expect something out of you, and you expect stuff out of me. And we work together, and we'll get it done. But if I lose you as a partner, I may not be able to get done what I want to get done. All right, if I lose you as a partner, I may not be able to accomplish the mission I got. That's different than fellowship. Fellowship to me sounds like, you know, cake and coffee in the fellowship hall. No commitments necessarily. You know, you're just hanging out and you're talking. Fellowship. You hear what I'm saying? There's a difference between partnership and fellowship. So did NLT get it wrong? Because everybody else says fellowship. Well, I thought to myself, I need to find out what's going on. Why does it say partnership in the NLT? And I said to myself, this ought to be easy because I know the Greek word for fellowship and you know the Greek word for fellowship. The Greek word for fellowship is the word koinonia. You know this word, right? You've seen this word before. Now, you may have heard it pronounced koinonia because it looks that way in English, but in Greek, it's koinonia. So koinonia means fellowship. And I said, I'm going to go and look and see if it's the same word here in 1 Corinthians. And I looked, and it is, and it isn't. So I got my Bible software out, and I looked at what it says, and what I saw in the Bible software is that it's a different form, a different sense, a different tense of the word koinonia. It's koinonos is the word. And so you'll see that most of the time, you'll see the translation for this is usually fellowship, but it can also be translated in other ways. And right here, the best translation for this word is not fellowship, but it's actually a collaborator, a partaker, or someone who partners or shares. In other words, the word here is koinonos, and it's the word for collaborator, partaker, or a partner, or a sharer. Okay, so it's somebody who's in on this together. It's somebody who's putting in the work in early in the morning in the gym. It's somebody who's sweating, beat it up, and red-faced. It's somebody who's in on this whole thing. He has invited you into partnership with Jesus Christ. What this is saying to us, it's the next blank on your page, is that our sanctification is a partnership. Our sanctification is a partnership. It's not something that Jesus just pushes the easy button on your life and you're done. Strength is a process. It grows over time. And it works when we partner with him, when we collaborate with him. That's what he's doing. The whole goal of his salvation in your life is not your eternal destiny. It's not about you. The whole goal of his salvation in your life is to turn you into something that you weren't. You hear me? He's changing you from one form to another. You were broken and disfigured by sin, and he's making you holy. He's making you the way you were designed to be. He's making you to be like him. You are becoming less and less and less who you were and more like Jesus Christ. That's his goal in your life. His goal isn't to get you a seat saved in heaven. His goal is to make you new. And that's something that happens on a daily basis as you and I collaborate with the work that he's doing in our lives. Does that make sense so far? Yeah, that's why in Ezekiel, God kind of shows us what he wants to do. Ezekiel, he says this about us. He says, I will give you a new heart, and I'll put a new spirit in you. I'll take out your stony, stubborn heart, and I'll give you a tender, responsive heart. Now, just time out right here. I know we don't have any Christians in the room who have ever been accused of being stubborn. Okay, so maybe you got still a stubborn streak in you. Do you have a stubborn streak in you a little bit? Yeah, I know I do. I know I do. Don't tell me what to do, dude. I'm going to do the opposite. Whatever you say, I'm going to do the opposite. I don't care how much sense it makes. You don't know better than I know. Anybody else here like that? Okay. So I know you might still have a stubborn streak in you, but you know what? Here's what he does. Here's what he does. He puts his hand on your heart. And he removes your stubbornness in one area of your life, and he replaces it with the person of Jesus Christ. And while you may still be a little stubborn today, oh, I believe that if the Spirit's working in you, you're less stubborn today than you were 5 years ago. You're less stubborn today than you were 10 years ago, because he's got his hand on your heart, and he's removing those old stones. He's replacing it with tender sensitivity to himself. He's taking out your no to him. He's taking away that tense up. He's taking away that bite at you. He's replacing it with happy dog. He's replacing it with let's go out and play. He's replacing it with yes, Lord, I'll be yours. That's what he's doing in your life, and it's a process. He goes on, he says, I'll put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. Are you there yet? Not quite. But if the Spirit's working in you, you're getting there. You're getting closer and closer. You're not like you were. Your temper is not the same as it used to be. Your attitude toward those people that hurt you is not the same as it used to be. Your willingness to withhold forgiveness is not the same as it used to be. Your desire to get revenge is not the same as it used to be. Because more and more you're saying yes to him as he removes those stones from your heart. Paul says it this way in Colossians 3. He says, put on your new nature. You've been given a brand new nature by God. So you have something to do here. Put it on. Put it on and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like him. This is a process. You don't just put it on once and you're done, but you keep putting it on. You keep putting it on. Philippians 2 says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence. He says, you have something to do here. Work out your own salvation. Work it out. You've been given salvation freely by Jesus. Now work it out. How does your salvation work out in your marriage? How does your salvation work out in your habits? How does your salvation work out in your workplace? How does your salvation affect the language that you use? How does your salvation affect the attitude that you have? How does your salvation affect the generosity that you display? Work it out. Work it out. You've been given everything you need. Now work it out. Collaborate with him and become new. Here's my question for you. This is a side question. I was thinking about this week. Have I fully engaged and am I fulfilling my partnership agreement with him, or have I violated the terms of my partnership? Am I fully in with him, Brent? Or have I said, you know, sounds good, but that's too uncomfortable. That's too inconvenient. This might hurt. I really love this pet sin. I'm not in on that. Am I fulfilling my role in this partnership, or have I abandoned my role? So how do I become? How do I become the person who stands? How do I become the person that is strong? How do I live a life worthy of my calling, as it says in Ephesians 4? How do I live worthy? Well, I'm going to show you the basics, if I can, because I don't have much time. But I go over these basics all the time. You've heard me say this 100 times. If the team's doing bad, they go back to the basics. They practice running and pitching and hitting, right? Right? If the golfer's doing bad, he goes and practices a short game a lot, right? I mean, you work at the basics. And you've heard me say this 1,000 times. Problem is, we don't really do this very well. So I'm going to go back to the basics, the Jesus-ordained basics, the two things that Jesus told us to do. If we don't get anything else right, we do these things. All right, so this is so important that we've come to call these things the greatest things in Christianity, the Great Command and the Great Commission. If we don't get anything else right, Jesus himself says these are the things, okay? So thing one, if you want to grow strong, go back to the basics and practice thing one. Here it is. It comes in response to Jesus being asked, what's the greatest? And he goes, duh, here it is. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. But then Jesus does something weird. He links another commandment and binds the two together to take two and make them one. Two for one. He says this. He says another one is equally important. He says you got to love your neighbor as yourself. He says everything you read in the Bible boils down to this. Everything else, you can memorize all the scripture, you can read all the Bible cover to cover, but it all boils down to this. It's the next blank on your page. Love God and love others. That's what it all comes down to. You can keep every single other command, but if you don't get this, you don't get it. It's real important to Jesus. You know, we're good at loving God. You know, loving God, we raise our hands. Y'all do a good job raising your hands in praise and worship time. I love that. Makes me feel like we're in this together. Loving others, though, different thing. I mean, I think if we were honest, we'd say, I love God, I just can't stand most people. Come on, that's just where we are. But this was so important to Jesus that he's talking about coming to the temple, right, and sacrificing to him. And he says, don't even come to me if you got something between you and a brother. You do that first before you even come talk to me. This is so important to Jesus. Love God and love others. That's the great commandment. That's number one. Number two is simple. We've talked about it 1,000 times. It comes at the end of Jesus' ministry. He's been crucified after 3 years of ministry, goes to the grave, rises again, and then spends about 40 days doing ministry in and around the Holy Land. And then just before he ascends to his Father, he has his disciples together, and he makes this bold authority statement. He says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. I got it all, buddy. All authority. And so then he makes not only this authority statement, but this great delegation statement. He uses this word, therefore. Since I've got all authority, therefore, I'm delegating it to you. I'm giving you all the authority. So if you want to experience the authority, the power of God, it's in this delegated statement right here. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, hold on. He says, all authority is given to you to complete this mission. You know, no wonder we don't experience the authority, the power of God in our lives. If we're not doing what he's told us to do with it, then he's not giving it to us. I'm giving it to you to do what I told you to do. Does that make sense? Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It goes on, he says, teach these disciples to obey the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So the most important thing to Jesus himself is that we love God, love others. The second thing, it's the next blank on your page, is to make disciples. Make disciples. Be making disciples. Now, you guys know, because I talk about it all the time, we here at the Orchard Church actually program around these things. So our Sunday morning environment, this is all about how can we fall in love with God a little bit more. That's why we do all this on Sunday morning. Right? Our life groups are all about loving others. They're all about building relationships. If you read the Bible, you'll see that all the ways that Jesus commands us to love others, it's in the context of an ongoing relationship. Right? It's what it's all about. So we practice our loving others in life groups and making disciples. The way we do that is we practice serving other people in the name of Jesus. We do that outside the church and inside the church, and we do that in a whole bunch of different ways. All that information is there for you in this 21-day spiritual journey page, and there's ways for you to do all of those things. If you want to lean in, if you want to learn, if you want to grow, do the basics for these 21 days. Do the basics. Go back to what Jesus calls us to for a very intentional time of growth and live a life worthy of your calling. Pray hard during this time. Ask God for strength and discernment. I showed you, I've given you a 21-day prayer guide so that we're all in the same. I'm doing it. I wrote it out, but I'm doing it myself. And I hope you'll be doing it with me. I'll be praying along the same lines you'll be praying on, agreeing with you as we pray together for ourselves, for the church, and for what God wants to do for us. Because I want us to get this right. I don't want us to be about money and concrete and steel. I want us to get it right. Don't you want to get it right? Don't you want to stand before him one day and not only have Jesus acknowledge you, but don't you want him to say, well done, good, faithful servant. Stop floating downstream. Stop tensing up and biting at him and surrender to him. When you're floating downstream, you are not right. You don't even know where you're going. I'm asking you for 21 days. Commit. Lean in. Make it something in your life. Don't make it cheap, but invest into this. Maybe you haven't been right with him, but you can get right now. Maybe you haven't been walking strongly with him, but you can get right now. Maybe you'll look at me and say, I haven't been doing the right thing in my life, but last blank on your page, I want to be right now. So let's do this thing. 21 days. Let's pray together. Let's stand together. Let's lead each other together as we grow closer to him. Amen.